me and my buttons, I'm just can't figure out how to run anything around here.
Yeah, we're going to change you over to zipper soon.
That's probably a good idea.
Maybe Velcro.
That's a good idea, too. Well, folks. You
tie your shoelaces up.
Well, folks, Speedway City USA, we're getting going now. Here we go.
Get up, Grandpa. Don't you know it's daylight saving time?
Yeah, I know it. I don't know who in the world ever got it up. It don't do nobody a bit of good.
Let me tell the story. I can tell it all about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey, but he drove the load.
This is Harold. You're listening to Speedway City USA. How's it going, honey? That's
I
my darling
so tired. I drove all the way back from New York City in about one day. I can't believe it, and I can't believe the Fargo made it all the way without overheating again.
Yeah, it was something. It was kind of neat to see you there on the TV machine.
Well, I tried waving from that there yellow carpet, but then big old movie theater-looking cameraman people kept on putting it the other way.
How's you getting to be sitting down next to the Casey Kane?
Well, I ain't never going to tell. He was walking around with tags hanging off his brand new clothes, and I was the only person there with a set of scissors.
Well, I'd explain it, because he didn't have no date, and then all of a sudden I'm watching him, looking at the table, and I'm looking when he's sitting there back now, and they were talking, all of a sudden I'm like, there's my Billy!
Well, you know, I weren't there too long, just enough to tidy him up. He, you know, he needs someone looking after him.
Well, you's the hottest thing to me there in that banquet hall there, honey. See, I learned that.
You're just mocking Mark. Mark, I know that.
I learned that line from Mark.
Yeah, but you did.
Yeah.
I put on my fanciest pressed overhauls and my cleanest rubber boots to go down there because you never know what you're going to find in New York City on the street.
Well, you just don't know. They got a whole different kind of roadkill down there.
They was people sitting on them hot radiators coming up from the streets, holding up cups, wanting things. One guy, all he had was the whites of his eyes looking at me, so I'll give him a sandwich, one of my favorite pork wing switches things.
And that was easy for you to say.
No, I ain't hard. It's easy for you to say. Ain't too hard, easy for me to say. But he plugged that down his pie hole, and he wanted seconds. What do you think of that?
Well, them porky swine switches is awfully good, I'm telling you. That when you're cold, that just warm you up. It just warm you up inside.
Yeah, we're going to make some of them later on in the show. I got me a recipe here. Going to make them right for you.
Well, you eat that stuff and you get like a nuclear reaction or going on in your body. It's real good.
That's right. You just be basically like a human version of a butane torch.
That's right. You just got to watch out who you're stuck walking around.
Well, you just make sure you stay behind folks or you're going to blow the britches off them.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Anyway, folks.
Why do you think your Long Johns have them trap doors in the back?
Well, I had one that didn't have a trap door, and it had one after a couple weeks.
That's right. It didn't start off that way, but sure ended that way.
Absolutely. Just blows the hole right in there, right through the middle. Anyway, folks, this is Speedway City, you might say. We'll be having the race results from a snowball race and from a race way back in 1951.
Snowball race, don't that mean at the end of the race one's really, really big?
I don't understand why they're not doing the snowball races up north in the Midwest. They got a lot of snow up there, but they're racing snowballs down in Pensacola, Florida. I don't understand that one.
They should be up in Wisconsin doing that.
That would be the case. That
Minnesota.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to have some race results for you. This is Harold. That's Beauty. This is Speedway City, USA. Damn it.
Hello? Santa. I know I promised I'd be good last year after all the things that I did. I'm really sorry that I ate all your cookies and spilled your milk and then chased the reindeer. I didn't mean to frighten the elves and run away with Mrs. Claus's apron while she was making gingerbread cookies for the children and then make you run through the yellow snow to catch me. But I do have a fresh batch of Razor Dog's t-shirts ready to go, and since your sleigh is stuck on the roof and Rudolph has been scared off by my barking, you can order yours at my website, racerdogs.com. Your friend, Carbon Super Sport, official spokespup of racerdogs.com, because dogs like to go fast too. Oh, and Santa, if I put a blinking red light on my nose, can I pull your sleigh?
Over 150,000 troops will be spending their holiday season away from the ones they love. Before you get those holiday gift grab bags set up this year, may I suggest a gift that will keep giving for years to come? Operation Helmet provides shock-absorbing helmet inserts for our brave men and women in uniform. They are proven to reduce the rate of brain injuries due to blast forces encountered in action. Does Uncle Harry really need that chia pet that looks like Elmer Fudd? Will Aunt Clara really use that chocolate fountain? Or will it sit in some closet until next year's garage sale? And just how many fish ties does Dad really want? Instead of buying gifts that no one really needs, make a gift donation to Operation Helmet in their name instead. There is a current backlog of soldiers ready to redeploy that could use this gift of life. Please help by going to operation-helmet.org to make your tax-deductible donation today. And happy holidays from all of us at racetalkradio.com.
But a smile and a towel and the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway. Rolling down the highway in my Jimmy Horn parade from Chicago to St. Louis, all I see are
every... Welcome back to Speedway City, USA. You saw quite a few billboards on your way to New York and City.
All there was a sea of billboards, signs here, signs there, interstate turnpikes, clover leaves, you name it. I never seen nothing like that in my life.
Well, at least you didn't get lost.
Well, I just kept following the light.
There's a lot of light there in New York and City.
You have any idea how hard it is to park a Fargo out in front of that Waldorf Astoria?
Yeah, that's so. He probably wanted to.
I double parked it right in the front of the street. I just pulled up beside some yellow taxi cab thing. It had a number 17 on the side, and I just left it there. I said, well, if they gonna take that away, it's probably gonna be a better spot for it anyway.
Well, it's probably. I thought they were gonna have some problem valet parking it.
What's a valet?
There's a lot. I don't know, but I saw a sign when they were showing the banquet, pre-banquet stuff on the TV thing.
Yeah, that their yellow rag thing.
Yeah. They had a sign out front that said, valet parking.
Well, I just left the Fargo, as I said, and I just walked on in. They just let me in, no problem. I had my cleanest overhauls on.
Well, you weren't driving a valet, so I guess that was okay.
No, I don't drive a valet, nor do I drive a Volare.
Well, that's a good thing. Anyway, folks, there's a race going on down south while you was having fun with Casey Kane at the banquet. Did he ask you to fix his hair?
No, he came all dolled up like that. I just had to fix all his tags on his outfit.
Yeah.
It was just all, they must staple them things on with pop rivets.
Yeah, I saw that Melissa Rivers lady. She were asking people if they had a scissor, and I figured old Billy's going to start screaming, "Yep, I got one, I got one," because you go everywhere with that old big old purse, and you got everything in it.
I need to have scissors everywhere I go, I'll tell you what. She's about 3'9", that girl.
Yeah, she looked pretty short. Old Mikey Waltrip, was he getting into nipping in the cat daddy before the show?
I don't know. I can't explain that. He was just acting giddier than you know what.
Did he ask you for a hug?
No, he did not. I just gave him the stares.
Well, that was a good thing. He did ask old Casey Kane, old Spitfire, for a hug.
I know. He was embarrassed. You should have seen him turn red. You think he can turn red? Well, you ain't seen him turn red till he was a-hugging on Mel Michael Waltrip.
Well, I suppose he had probably a mouthful to talk about that later on in the show.
I'll tell you. Yeah, that was just a sight to behold.
Well, anyway, folks.
I was embarrassed.
You was as embarrassed. Well, I was.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, old Beulie, she got herself invited to that old banquet. I
got an invite in the mail.
I don't know how she doing it, but she got an inviter. Maybe they just listening to all our shows, and they said, them peoples know what they're talking about, so we're going to invite them to the banquet.
I think they wanted to get somebody that knew what they was talking about, that wasn't all just up on all the newfangled things. They wanted a touch of the past when they was all reminiscing.
Yeah, well, that was good. That was a good idea.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So what were your favorite...
I'm tired, though. I'm tired.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of driving, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't fall asleep on me. I need your help on the show.
I'll try and stay awake. Yeah, I'll stay awake at least another 45 minutes.
That'll work. That'll work just fine. Anyway, folks, what were your favorite time at the banquet?
My favorite time sure weren't the singing, I'll tell you what. I could barely hear her. So I started singing myself, and they invited me back next year, and I said, ain't a hope in hell you're going to get me to come on back next year. That is one long drive, so I don't know who they're going to get next year, but it sure weren't the singing. I would say one of my favorite times was the meal on Thursday night.
What did they have to eat?
Oh, it was just everything you wanted from under the sun. You had some nice beef and had all kinds of lovely things.
Well, that sounds real good. Old Sparky,
real nice.
Old Sparky and I, we went out for dinner on Thursday night.
Well, you didn't eat all them pot pies I put in the freezer?
Oh, we had them Friday.
You ate all them things on Friday?
Yeah. We had a couple.
My Lord, you're going to be having to walk around with a wheelbarrow.
We had a couple friends over.
A couple of friends?
Yeah.
Now, who was they?
We was just playing three-card Monte. That's a card game we learned down at the lodge from some guy named Monte.
Hmm. That does sound like a real good time, Harold. I'm glad I was up in New York City.
He was passing through town, and he broke down, and he was at the lodge, and he taught us his game with three-card Monte. I thought it was kind of funny they name a card game after city folk.
Well, I guess they got to name it after somebody.
Yeah, I guess so. But we ate all them pot pies, but Thursday, old Spocky and I, we drove down into the city. The big city.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the Sonic. That was good.
I hear they all poisoned a bunch of people lately, didn't they? Or was that Taco Bell?
That were Taco Bell's, and that were in New York City, I thought.
Maybe that's why I heard tale of it.
Yeah, that was it. Anyway, folk, there was some racing last week, honey.
Yeah, there's a little bit of racing going on all over the place.
Yeah.
What'd y'all see?
Well, it was the 39th annual Snowball Derby. And
I believe they've been running that long.
Yeah, well, one of the boys, he got disqualified. He win, but
he
dropped the snowball. And how they get snowballs down in Florida, I don't know.
It would have a snowball's chance, wouldn't it?
I guess not. But old Johnny Brazier, he were the winner, but then he were the loser.
Well, how's that work?
Because he dropped the snowball, I guess. Or maybe he didn't hit anybody with a
snowball. Make sure it don't turn into a puddle of water, or what?
I don't understand it. I never seen no snowball derby. I seen the Kentucky Derby one time, but I never seen no snowball derby. So
I don't know how they're going to race snowballs.
I ain't sure up on the rules, but he either lose the race or he stopped to get ice cream because it say right by his name, DQ.
Well, maybe it's a Dairy Queen ice cream. Maybe he went and got himself a Dilly Bar.
Maybe he did, but Bobby Gill, he got himself a Dilly Bar, too, because he got a DQ.
Wow. I'd say they all having some good, nice treats.
Maybe, but old Clay Rogers, he were the winner.
Why, did he not get nothing?
Well, he don't have no DQ
by
his name. He don't got no DQ by his name. He got 300 laps by his name. So I don't know, but he a winner. He'd win
$20,000.
$20,000? $20,000!
Well, that's a heck of a lot better than a Dilly Bar, ain't it?
That's a whole bunch better than a Dilly Bar. Old Stevie Wallace, he were second.
Wow. He won that last year, didn't he?
I think so. He didn't stop to get
a
Dilly Bar.
Dilly Bar.
Nope,
too?
He didn't stop to get no Dilly Bar. Ryan Carney were third. Jeremy Rice were four. Sean McWhorter was fifth.
Who?
Sean McWhorter. He was fifth. Joey Shenter were sixth. Jeff Fultz were seven.
I heard tell him.
He used to race those funny-looking cars up in the Northeast. Them modifieds. Those modifieds. Those is fun to watch. Brian Scott were eight. Scott Carlson were nine. And Johnny Clark, he were ten. There was a lot of good racer down there. But I don't understand how they can race in snowballs. Must have special rule.
Maybe they got skis.
Maybe. Anyway, folks.
Snowshoes.
They need something, but they were down in Florida. They don't get a lot of snow down in Florida. So how do they make snowballs to have a derby with?
Maybe it's a play on words.
Maybe they just avoiding the snow by racing down to Florida.
Maybe it's a sacrifice to the weather gods. If they say snowball, they gonna get sunshine. And up in Minnesota, they should say, yeah, we're gonna have the crocodile alligator Everglade run, and they gonna hope it snows.
That'll work.
It's hard. Like appeasing the gods.
Giving peas to gods?
It's like APs and the gods.
Cream peas to the gods?
Yeah, pretty much, Harold.
Well, it's good to be the god because I like creamed peas.
Right next to your Dilly Bar.
Yeah, whatever works. Anyway, folks, I kind of like to dip it in my tapioca sometime. My Dilly Bar, not my cream peas. Anyway, folks, that were the race from this year. We'll have a race from way back in 1951 when we come back here on Speedway City, USA. This is Harold. Don't you go turning it out!
Everybody here at Race Talk Radio.
radio.com, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank each and every one of you for helping make our very first year a resounding success. We appreciate you tuning into all of our shows and for listening to our archives if you were otherwise occupied during our live air programming. Stay tuned for even more opportunities in 2007 to scratch your racing itch, including additional shows and podcasts. This is Carbon Supersport, and for everyone here at Race Talk Radio, please drive safe when you're out Christmas shopping and visiting your friends and relatives. And we wish you the merriest Christmas ever and all the best in the new year.
Motorsports Tonight is presented by RPM Diecast. Check them out on the web at rpmdiecast.com. They're an authorized distributor of Action Performance, the most trusted name in NASCAR and NHRA diecast collectibles. All your favorite drivers are featured, including the new Dale Earnhardt Jr. Father's Day Budweiser Monte Carlo and the Casey Kane Dodge Dealers Click Michigan Win Dodge Charger. 1/24th scale, just $64.99 at rpmdiecast.com. While you're there, check out their Salute to Dale Earnhardt section and all the diecast from the movie Talladega Nights. RPM Diecast is your home for the latest in racing collectibles, merchandise, and apparel, including the Dale Earnhardt Jr. camo cap, just $24. Visit rpmdiecast.com or call toll-free 1-877-800-2415 Monday through Friday from 10 to 5 Central. rpmdiecast.com has shipped almost 100,000 internet orders since 1998. When it comes to diecast, the only name you need to know is rpmdiecast.com.
Headed into Beantown in a big long diesel truck. It was his first trip to Boston. He is having all bad luck. He was going the wrong direction down a one-way street in town. This is what he said, and the police chased him down. Give me 40 acres and I'll turn this thing around.
Yeah, this is Harold at Speedway City, USA.
Boy, that song sure sounds familiar.
Take on almost 20 acres to turn the Fargo around.
I'll tell you, up there in New York City, you got no acres to turn nothing around. You just keep driving in circles, driving in circles. It's like a NASCAR race.
Yeah, they got a lot of one-way in streets up there, too. You can only go one way.
I think a person could find themselves behind bars real quick.
That looked like a scary city to me.
It's either just bumper to bumper and people screaming and honking and waving and carousing and cursing and swearing and farting and belching. I just didn't know what to do.
Well, it's kind of rude up there, I guess.
It's nuts. Everything you heard tell in New York City, it's wrong. It's worse.
It's worse. So nowhere to plant no rutabagas up there either, huh?
Ain't nowhere to plant a rutabaga, ain't nowhere to park a Fargo, ain't nowhere to get a brand new set of New York City overhauls.
That don't sound like a fun place to visit to me.
Now, I just got the hell and gone out of there when it was all said and done, I'll tell you what.
Did you get a chance to go up to the top of that Empire State Building?
No, I have no intention of going up there. No intention whatsoever.
Now, do you
no,
see
thank
that?
You, sir.
Were that big ape still hanging on the building?
A big ape?
Big ape was hanging on that building. I saw it on the movie show.
No, actually, when he went up on stage and got his 11th place trophy and his check and whatnot, he looked pretty much clean-shaven by then.
I don't mean that. I don't mean Tony. I mean that big ape that were in that movie.
Oh, Mr. Helton. No, Mr. Helton was really nice. He was sitting in the audience right beside Mr. Old Bill France, and he was quite well-behaved. He did not climb the Empire State Building.
I don't think that were who I was talking about either, because I don't think he were in that movie. There was a big ape, and he climbed up the building, and he reached in the window, and he grabbed this lady.
I know who you mean. No, he didn't even get the top 10. You mean Elliot Sadler. Yeah, he's all covered in hair. I know it.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I just don't know how that big ape could climb on the building and fit in a NASA car.
That's just an awful thing to be saying about him, calling him a big ape.
I meant the big ape in the movie show that I saw.
I didn't see no movie show.
Well,
they wasn't playing no movie show there. I didn't see no big ape up in the Empire State Building either. Where was they shooting this movie?
I saw it a long time ago on the movie show. It was about
a big
ape. He was climbing up the building, and there was like planes flying. He was swatting them out of the air. And he was climbing on the Empire State Building, and I figured maybe he was still there.
I didn't see him. I didn't even smell him.
Well, maybe he was on the other side of the building hiding from you.
That could be. Just depends how big he is.
Oh, he's big. He was bigger than the building. Not tall, but wider than the building. And he was climbing up.
I'll tell you who ain't big, and that's Mrs. Jimmy Johnson. She'd have to stand up twice just to cast a shadow. You think she looks slight on TV. You ain't never seen slight till you seen her in person.
Now, did you try to tell her to go up twice to that buffet?
Well, no, I just kind of sat there and just nodded.
Now, do they have any of that good old gravy there?
Sawmill gravy?
They have that sawmill gravy at the buffet?
No, they didn't have no good stuff like that. They had these plates of food that they give you big old white plate and put a little hunk of a green thing on it, and then they just kind of draw these lines of stuff on the plate. So it's like they're giving you artwork and not food.
They didn't have a buffet?
Oh, no. They come to your table with a man with a rag over his arm.
Well, because when they were on the TV show, the man says, "You guys can go up for the buffet anytime you want."
Now, this is Thursday night.
Oh, I was talking about the banquet with Friday night.
No, we wasn't eating. I just stayed for a little bit with Casey and got his tags all removed, and then I just kind of thought, if I don't leave now, I ain't going to get a beat on the traffic. Because this is the end of the week, and I had spent so many days there. I was so tired driving in circles, Fargo. It's all a woman can stand.
Now, I saw you there driving the Fargo around when all them NASCAR cars is going around the time to square.
Well, you know, sometimes you need a push vehicle, and, you know, the front bumper on the Fargo just kind of lined up right with the back end of a cup car.
Yeah, well, that was pretty cool. I was sitting there thinking, I'm just sitting there watching the news, and I saw that come out, and all of a sudden I said, "There's Beauty!"
Well, did you see Kyle trying to take credit for bumping into the back of Mark Martin? That was because I got into the back of Kyle, and he had to get in the back of Mark Martin because he had no idea what was going on. I just about gave the boy a whiplash.
Well, that is what it should be.
You look at the back rear end of that number 5 Kellogg's car with the big old tiger on the roof, on the hood, because you're going to see marks. You're going to see rust marks from the Fargo.
That's good. That boy needs
that
a little.
Good.
He needs a little.
I still got me some of that blue paint on the front bumper of the Fargo, too.
Well, that's
and
good.
He had a woman sitting in the side of the car, and she had a microphone hanging out the side, and she was talking to people on the street.
That's kind of strange.
She was having a good time.
Well, she's having a fun time. She should have a fun time.
That's right. We're in New York City. Gotta live it up.
That's right. Well, there was a race way back in 1951 that were pretty good, but it weren't in New York City. It were in Garden.
I don't think there's going to be one in New York City from what I've been hearing.
Yes, I heard about that too. But this race were out in Gardena, California.
They got nice flyers out there.
Carrell Speedway. And you remember who won?
That back in Carrell Speedway. Yeah, I remember who won, all right.
Yep.
I think there's even a song written about him, but I'll let you explain that to the folks.
Yep, it was Lou Figaro, Figaro, Figaro. He weren't.
You could hear that coming a mile away.
And that's what the announcer used to say every time he were leading. They'd say, and rushing up to the top in his 51 Hudson, here come Lou Figaro, Figaro, Figaro.
That's where that song come from.
That was where it came from. Folks don't know that until I tell them. He read
a legend behind it.
He led all 200 laps of that race.
He sure did. He went from start to finish.
Yes, he did. Old Chuck Meekins, he were second. Leloy Daney were third.
You don't have to pronounce the second L in Lloyd, Harold.
It ain't Lloyd.
It ain't Lloyd. It's just Lloyd. I don't know why either. I don't know who makes these rules for the English language. None of it just really don't make sense. It ain't no wonder that foreigners come over here and you can't understand them.
Oh, that's for sure. Fred Benchy were fourth.
Are you foreigner, Harold?
Fred Steinbrenner were fifth. And he were driving one of the oldest cars out in that race, as I recall.
One of the oldest cars. Ain't the oldest, just one of the oldest.
One of the oldest
cars.
There
was a Hudson in here, too.
Yes, there were.
At least there ain't a Hutmobile.
Freddie Steinbrenner, he were fifth. And I mentioned Freddie Steinbrenner, he were fifth?
Fred Steinbrenner was fifth. Yeah, you did mention that. Next you're going to get the hiccups. I know it's coming next. You're going to get the hiccups.
Well, Erickson were sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Hal Coley were seventh. Freddie Herder was eight.
Freddie who?
Herder.
How about Farmer? And he was a-driving for the world-famous Johnny Mance, too.
Hell, that was a good man, that Johnny Mance. He really know his stuff.
Sure enough did.
Bill Stamnammer was nine.
You've been going to the school of Mel Tillis, ain't you?
Well, that was his name, Bill Stammer.
I swear, Harold, I'm going to get you a padded room at Trembling Acres.
That might be a good idea. Jimmy Baird was 10.
Baird. The El Paso Special, he was driving.
Jimmy Baird, yep. Herschel McGriff were 11.
Old Hersch McGriff, he could eat a cob of corn through a plank fence.
That he could, that he could. Bill Stickler were 12. He were a great driver. Dick Mayer was 13, and Ray Chasey were 14. And Bob Bricklayer, he were 15. How about that?
Keep digging, Harold. Keep digging.
Keep digging what?
your hole when I smack you up the side of the head with a shovel and bury in it. Bob Carpenter. Try Bob Carpenter. Ain't no Bob Bricklayer. It's a carpenter. That's a man with a hammer and nails. It ain't a man with some mortar and a trowel.
Well, I suppose I had the wrong guy then.
You got your wrong eyeballs in.
Well, that's just... I get confused every once in a while.
More often than not, Harold.
Only 3 times every hour.
You're getting better.
Well, I'm trying, honey. Anyway, folks, that were the race from way back in when. 1951, that were a lot of years ago.
That's almost too hard to remember back to.
That was, let me see, that were 1, 0, 4, 0, there. Nero, come over here. I need more feet to count. I need more toes.
You need a whole city, Harold.
That were a lot of years ago. That were a lot of feet ago.
It's 55.
That were a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. It sure enough was.
Anyway, folks, that were a great race way back when. You didn't hear nobody whining back then, neither.
It was too tired. They didn't have no power steering. They didn't have no cooling equipment. They didn't have nothing.
They didn't win much money, either.
Them guys was barely out of leather helmets.
You're right. Last year in the Daytona 500, last place guy got like $200,000 for finishing last.
More than that.
You know how much they made for finishing last back in 1951?
You tell us, Harold.
$25. $25. That was it.
How pathetic is that?
That's pretty bad.
Maybe we should have sold the sport to China back then.
Yeah, well, it's going to be over there, and we're going to have to go all the way over to China to see races pretty soon.
Don't count on it, Harold. I don't have frequent flyer points, and I don't intend on getting any.
Well, that might be kind of funny to see them racing over there. There go Yao Ming Earnhardt. He took the lead. Moshe Gordon is second.
Going to have to sit up the stagger on the rickshaw.
It's going to be something else, I'm telling you. They're going to race all the way to Great Wall of China and back. Great Wall of China Speedway. Maybe Bill Weber makes sense to those people over there.
Well, he may as well be because he's speaking Chinese to us.
Yeah, that's for sure, honey. That's for sure. Well, folks, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, Beauty's going to be fixing up some vittles. You're listening to Race Talk Radio's favorite show. This is Speedway City, damn it. We'll be back.
Dear Santa, I know I promised I'd be good last year after all the things that I did. I'm really sorry that I ate all your cookies and spilled your milk and then chased the reindeer. I didn't mean to frighten the elves and run away with Mrs. Claus's apron while she was making gingerbread cookies for the children. And then make you run through the yellow snow to catch me. But I do have a fresh batch of Razor Dog's t-shirts ready to go, and since your sleigh is stuck on the roof and Rudolph has been scared off by my barking, you can order yours at my website, racerdogs.com. your friend, Carbon Super Sport, official spokespup of RacerDogs.com, because dogs like to go fast too. Oh, and Santa, if I put a blinking red light on my nose, can I pull your sleigh?
HotJackets.com has the best pricing and selection of NASCAR jackets you will find anywhere. These same jackets are priced as high as $200 or more at the track, but Hot Jackets has them for just $99. Coming this fall, the brand new Superman jacket, and in stock now is the complete Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights collection. You can also find many of your favorite college teams and the cool new Muppets jackets, too. HotJackets.com, your only choice for the complete selection of JH Design Line jackets at the best price anywhere.
Hello, I'm a truck. You've heard songs about truck drivers many times, the story told. How they pulled out of Pittsburgh for 6 days on the road, about that Feather River Canyon, and a climb of that old grapevine.
This is Harold. I just love this storytelling singer here. He does such a good job.
Kind of sounds like what the Fargo was singing all the way on my trip.
Now, somebody else sang this song, too. I'm trying to think of that boy's name. There were a lot of boys that sang this song.
There's a lot of truck driving songs all sung by different folks. Maybe C.W. McCall you're thinking about.
Well, I don't know if it were him with their truck, this song here. And there were another boy that sang that other song that we had on home. Give me 40 acres and I'll turn this rig around. Wonder if Boxcar Willie ever did that song.
I would not doubt it.
These are just good songs, honey. Did he win any awards on the music awards that were on last night?
I think he probably wasn't wearing scanty enough clothing or had his hair dyed the wrong color and mowed off all his eyebrows and then drew them on in the wrong spot. Or had piercings.
Yeah,
there's people that have so many piercings, they should be called tackle boxes.
I bet you saw some weird folk out there in New York and City.
Yeah, tackle box comes to mind.
I bet so.
Walk around, they got hooks and anchors out of their eyelids and their lips and right through their tongue and through their nose joint and out the other side and their mouth socket and everything.
That's pretty
weird. Spines dropped over their body.
Anybody do that around here, you'd be running them to Doc Brown because you figured they had an accident.
You'd be doing that right after you cut a slit.
Yeah, that's for sure. Anyway, folks, it's time for Beauty to fix some vittle.
It sure enough is. I have one of my favorite special recipes.
That sounds good. I like your special recipes.
I know you do.
So what's for dinner tonight, honey?
I'm going to make you a porky swinewich.
A porky swinewich?
Yes, sir. The same thing that I was handing out in the streets of New York City.
Well, them folks were pretty darn lucky. You just can't get no good pork or swine witch just any street corner in New York City.
That's right. Them people sitting on them hot grills with them them underground things running all over the place for heat. They just, they was hungry, so I handed out my pork sandwich to them. So anyway, your ingredients, you're going to take 2 tablespoons of butter, 8 slices of rye bread, 8 slices of fine black forest ham, 8 slices of Swiss cheese, 1 cup of wine sauerkraut, and you want to drain all the liquid off it, and 1/2 cup of Thousand Island dressing. Now you're going to take a big old iron skillet, and you're going to bring it to about medium heat, and you're going to lightly butter the one side of the bread slices. And you're going to spread the non-buttered sides with the Thousand Island dressing.
Which side and get then which?
It don't much matter, just so long as they're opposite. So on the 4 bread slices, you're going to layer
one
slice of Swiss
cheese. What if you put it on the wrong
cheese.
Side?
Don't much matter, Harold. You're going to layer 1 slice of Swiss cheese, 2 slices of ham, 1/2 cup of sauerkraut.
Which side do you put the Swiss cheese on?
Closest to the bread. And the 2nd slice of Swiss cheese. Then you're going to top with the remaining bread slices, and you put the butter on the outside. Now you're going to drop the sandwiches into your hot skillet, and you just cook them up until both sides are brown, and it's going to be about 15 minutes per side. So you're going to have like a nice little contained sandwich, and everything's going to get all nice and crispy and it's going to smell so good, and then you're going to serve them hot. And that is how you make yourself a pork sandwich.
That sounds awfully good.
Mm-hmm. I thought you'd like that.
Them people must have had their mouths watering. Now, where did you get a skillet in New York City?
I had these all pre-made, and I had them all in packed up in one of them bags that keeps things warm.
That was stinking.
That was thinking. I thought, you know, they keep saying there's people up there that don't have no food. So I thought I'd just make some pork sandwiches for them.
Yeah, we're pretty smart.
And I also took them some little containers of my old-fashioned tapioca pudding that I made from scratch. And how you do that is you take 1/3 cup of the large pearl-sized tapioca, and that ain't the instant kind that you get in the store that you just add hot water to. This is the real tapioca that you have to soak for several hours. And you're going to have 2 1/4 cups of milk, 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of sugar, and 1/4 cup of vanilla. So you're going to soak the tapioca in water for 4 to 12 hours. And add your milk and your salt, and you heat that, and you stir it until it's all nice and boiling. Then you're just going to simmer that at low heat, uncovered, for about almost an hour. And you've got to stir it quite often, too, because you don't want it to stick or burn. Then you're going to add your sugar gradually, beat your eggs, and mix with some hot tapioca, and return slowly to the rest of the mixture and bring it to a boil and stir it constantly for about 3 minutes, and you're going to have a nice pudding-like consistency. And you just keep stirring for about 15 minutes, and when you're all done, just add your little touch of vanilla, and you're going to have the finest old-fashioned tapioca pudding you ever laid a mouth to.
What if you can't get Grady Lee to come over to pour sugar on him?
You can't get what?
You said pour sugar on gradually.
Gradually. That means a little bit at a time.
I thought you meant Grady Lee.
No, Grady Lee ain't invited. I never did invite Grady Lee. We had a falling out, you know.
Well, that's good, because he's a real pain in the ass.
I know. He's a panhandler, too.
Can I say that on the radio?
Yeah, you just did. Y'all can't take it back now. You can't take back a harsh word, Harold.
Well, it can't help it. He is a pain in the ass.
I know. So I was handing out my...
And I don't mean our donkey, neither.
In my little cups of pre-made tapioca pudding. And I was walking down the street, and I come across this little boy. And I could not believe what I was seeing. He had on a leg brace that went right down from his hip right down to his ankle. and he was walking around. He was just the slightest little thing. He looked like he could have been the Tiny Tim of NASCAR, because he was all dressed out in a number 8 jacket, and he was cursing a blue streak about Jimmy Johnson and doing something. I could not really hear him because his father was a belly aching too. I think it was his father. It could have been his older brother. I'm not sure, but I just heard the most wicked sound coming out of these people. I just couldn't believe it. So I stuffed one of my porcus swine witches right in his mouth, and I said, "Young man, you better straighten up, or we're going to put the TV set back on top of the refrigerator when you get home, and you can't reach it to turn it off or change the channel."
Well, New York people, they can be kind of rude, I'm told.
I just can't believe what I've seen.
Just as no... Those people, they just have no sense about them no more.
But the thing of it is, too, and one thing I heard amongst the crowd, and after I was talking to Casey Kane, Spitfire, as you like to call him, most of the people up and down the streets waiting for these cars to come by or see the drivers, they's all from out of town.
Really?
There's very few locals in New York City there, because they all went to the ballet.
Well, Jeff Gordon was at the ballet?
Apparently so.
He'd be a good ballet dancer.
No, he's just a little bit too short. Maybe a belly dancer. Did you say belly dancer?
Belly.
Belly dancer, yes. With one of them funny see-through skirts on and like a ruby in his belly button, right?
Well, that weren't what I thought. In fact, that mental picture gonna make me blind.
What, if Jeff Gordon is a belly dancer?
Jeff Gordon's belly. I just don't want to even see that in my imagery anymore. If my mental imagery get that, I'm just gonna gouge out my mental eyes, because I don't have to see it.
Well, I'll go get the spoon, Harold. You can spoon them out the eyeballs.
When you was in New York City, did you see them rockets?
No, they weren't no missiles. I think they were going to send up them F-14s if them rockets was a-coming again.
No, them ladies that's always kicking when they're walking. Always
kicking.
With
the leg brace on. No, I think that was just a young lad that was walking along with the leg brace, kicking like a mud fool. No, I didn't see no ladies like that, only that young lad. I think he's like the Tiny Tim in NASCAR.
That might be.
I think we should take up a collection.
That might be. Now,
and I think the woman with him was his mama, and she was wearing these dark, dark eyeglasses, and I don't know if she was hiding something. Maybe she was just embarrassed at the mean mouth coming out of the man folk she was with.
Well, them old man folk can be pretty mouthy.
Well, he didn't even have sleeves on, and it was nice weather in New York City that day on Thursday. But he did not have sleeves on, and I could not believe that, because that was almost like a rude gesture.
Yeah, well,
gotta have sleeves.
I would think.
What do you do with sleeves? Does he have like a sleeve at home that he's done massacred off personal shirts?
That's a good
question. What's he gonna do? Make leg warmers out of them? Well, I know. Maybe he needs like a leg brace warmer. They want to hide the fact that the child is a defect. That's what that is all about. Cut his own sleeves off to hide the child. Hey, I figured that out by myself. I'm going to give me a gold star.
You
just
do.
Like Matt Kitts.
You should get 2 gold stars.
I'm going to get 2 gold stars. Maybe I'll buy like a spray bomb version of gold stars.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, old Matt Kenzie, he got a job during the off season.
What's he doing?
That old Jay Moore guy, he said he gonna be a cigar store Indian.
Maybe
he said Matt
kind of like
Kenzie,
a wooden figure.
He said, "Matt Kenzie, you cigar store Indian."
I know a song about that.
I guess he means that he gonna be doing a good store, working there as a cigar store Indian during the off season.
Well, the song goes, "Mackenzie was a wooden Indian standing by the door. He fell in love with a chop doll made over at the corner store. Mackenzie!
They should have
Are
had
you licking
you,
your lips, or what's
should,
going on?
They should have had you singing at the banquet.
Well, my teeth weren't crooked enough. I have perfectly good teeth. And I wouldn't be caught wearing a green set of drapers like that.
Well, I thought you should be singing and then you should be picking your banjo.
Yeah, well, they're just too citified for me. If they don't stop it now and go back to the Waffle House in Asheville, I think it's just going to be the damnation of the entire sport. Damnation, I tell you.
Yeah, it could be. I got another question for you.
He don't ever answer yes or no, 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 no. Poor old Mackenzie, well, he never got a kiss. Poor old Mackenzie, he don't know what he missed. Ain't it any wonder that his face is nuts? Kerlodger, that's Kerlodger. I thought it was Kenseth. Oh, well. I guess I was wrong.
I got another question for you, honey.
What's that, Harold?
Is it okay to hunt tapiocas all the time?
I think they're in season right now, and I don't think it would be an illegal act if you was to go out and blow away some tapioca.
Well, I heard
you can use a deer rifle for that.
I heard that tapiocas was running.
Well, they could be. Maybe you got to net them.
I ain't never seen one of them little tapiocas.
Well, they usually look a lot different in the wild in their natural surroundings. And I think sometimes when they go through their molting season, they change a lot and they change color and they very much blend into their environment. So if they're out in the woods, they're going to be like the mossy oak version of tapioca. And if they're in the rivers and streams, they're very much like the speckled trout version of tapioca.
I wonder where tapiocas are originally from, because they don't look like they're from around here.
No, I believe they are directly from Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan?
And they just kind of, they come over here in the ballast of ships, and they started to multiply once they got some good vittles down in the south. And
wow.
Now they have morphed into the instant variety, too. And I think even Uncle Ben was raising them. I'm really not sure, though. I think also maybe that Zataran man, I think he probably got some, too. And I think he was raising them in the dark cellar during the 40s. And then some of them escaped, and they got out into the swamps, into the bayous. And they started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And now they have versions of them that you basically have to take out with a crossbow.
Well, that old Uncle Ben, he were a sex deviate.
Well, I beg your pardon.
He were. Ain't you never heard of Uncle Sam's perverted rice? Uncle Ben's perverted rice.
Uncle Sam?
Well, I just lost my teeth there for a moment. But Uncle Ben's perverted rice. You ain't never heard of that.
I believe it's converted.
Oh,
maybe
man.
It's convicted. Maybe he ain't a pervert. Maybe he's a convict.
Well, I don't know.
I know. Just always go with a crossbow if you're going out hunting tapioca. Because if you get that big strain that escaped from the Zataran man's basement, you're going to need a crossbow.
Yeah, that was for sure. Well, honey, we watched it.
Huh?
Hold on here, honey. We're going to try
to... Put your teeth in, Harold. Spit it out.
Yeah. Hold on. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to wrap this show up. You're listening to Speedway City, USA, damn it. We'll be back.
HotJackets.com has the best pricing and selection of NASCAR jackets you'll find anywhere. These same jackets are priced as high as $200 or more at the track, but Hot Jackets has them for just $99. Coming this fall, the brand new Superman jacket. And in stock now is the complete Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights collection. You can also find many of your favorite college teams and the cool new Muppets jackets, too. HotJackets.com, your only choice for the complete selection of JH Design Line jackets at the best price anywhere.
This is Carbon Super Sport from RacerDogs.com with an important message. Do you have a human at home that needs a new outfit? Why not visit RacerDogs.com and pick out a shirt or two from my own carbon-approved collection? Now, I'm not going to tell you how I approve these magnificent articles of clothing, but I will guarantee you that everything is now dry and ready to ship to your doorstep. So please visit RacerDogs.com today. I work for biscuits, and I'm starting to get hungry.
I wheeled into a truck stop in Texas, a little place called Hamburger Dan.
Burger Dan.
I heard that old jukebox playing.
It was playing.
Song about.
I'm a truck driving man.
That waitress done brought me some coffee.
She's a big woman,
I
too.
I thanked her and I called her back again.
Yes, she did.
I said, you know, that song it sure does fit me.
Yes, it does.
Cause I'm a truck driving
truck
man.
Driving
truck driving man.
Pour me another cup of coffee.
For it is the best.
I got another question for you, Beulie. Got another question for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you think they like me sung over in Thailand?
Well, I'm sure they're going to start too soon. I think we're probably going to start a whole new trend. We're going to start the new Dave Dudley fan club.
Oh, that's a good
thing. And over in Thailand, when they're making all that spicy food so that basically you turn into a blowtorch a walking backwards, they can sing songs like Truck Driving Man and the girl with the on the billboard wearing nothing but a smile and a towel on the billboard on the interstate near the whatever big old highway. I think they're all going to be singing that in the grade school.
Maybe.
Together now.
Now, do they have 40 acres to turn that truck around?
Yeah, but I believe it's mostly underwater.
Alrighty, well, as long as we got that old fixed up.
And they drive junk.
I hear our song.
I think I do too. That's the antiperspirant man.
Yeah, when that come on, that means we're either coming or going. And
I ain't even excited yet.
I recollect we've been here, so we must be going.
You say so.
I guess so. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed us talking about racing, because we sure as enjoyed talking about it. And if you don't enjoy it, then we're going to be out of work. And it gets mighty cold here in the cabin. So you keep listening, or you're going to make us freeze, and you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that. We only got so much tapioca and pork swine witches to go around.
Well, you can write us, and we'll actually give you direction to the cabin so you can come and enjoy some of Beulie's vittles.
You're inviting people to come to the cabin?
Yeah, come on down. Everybody, you listening here, you just write us
man.
We'll give you direction.
I'm going back to New York City. You'd be more sane there.
Oh, we need to have everybody come to the cabin.
Make for yourself.
Yeah, only charge them $20.
Oh, you're going to make money on it?
Yeah.
That's another story.
I'll
start cooking.
Pork and swine witches, $20 a piece. All you can eat.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll go for that.
They'd be crazy not to.
Look, there's some folks from Thailand. They're already getting on a boat coming here. You can
wow,
see them right over there.
Little dogs with
you
them.
See them?
I see them.
Yeah.
Kind of scary, guess me.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're short and hunched over.
Well, folks.
They're old. They look like they're 110 years old.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That man just won't stop singing, will he?
Oh, he just don't want to stop.
Maybe he's got the hiccups.
Yeah. Well, folks, we got to get going. This is Harold. That's Beauty. Say goodnight to everybody, Beauty.
Night to you, Brother Hugh.
That too. Tune in next week, folks. More Speedway City USA. Damn it. Bye-bye.